We're in a series called Following Jesus as we walk through the Gospel of Luke, and we're skipping forward just a little bit, and we'll be back to do many of the stories that are in Luke's Gospel, but I wanted to go forward to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, to the story of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at the parable of the lost sheep this morning. I heard about this telemarketer who called a home one day, and she said, "Hello, who am I talking to?" And she heard a very soft whisper on the other end of the phone that said, "Hello." And she said, "Who am I talking to?" And again, a soft whisper said, "Jimmy." And the telemarketer said, "Jimmy, how old are you?" And Jimmy said, "I'm 6," in a very soft voice. Well, the telemarketer said, "Jimmy, is your mother there?" And Jimmy whispered, "No." And then the telemarketer said, "Well, is your father there?" And Jimmy whispered, "No" again. Well, the telemarketer started to become worried by then, and she said, "Is there anyone else there?" And Jimmy said, "Yes, the police are here." And the telemarketer said, "Well, can you put one of the police on the phone?" And little Jimmy said, "No." And then the telemarketer said, "Well, is there anyone else here?" And Jimmy said, in a whisper, "Yes, the firemen are here." And by then, the telemarketer was quite worried, and she said, "Well, can any of them come to the phone?" And Jimmy said, "No." And the telemarketer said, "Well, what is going on? The police and the firefighters are there." And little Jimmy whispered, "They're all looking for me." Oh, have you ever wanted to run away? When you were a kid, maybe? Yeah. Anyone have run away? I know. I saw that one. Or maybe you wanted to run away from church. Maybe there's been a point in your life where you said, "This is just a bunch of bunk," or "This is just too much trouble," or "Life is too hard or difficult. I'm just going to run away. I'm just going to run away." And if you have, then I think this story of Jesus is for you this morning. And I love that story of the runaway bunny by Margaret Wise Brown, who retells this famous parable of Jesus in such a beautiful and poetic way. Isn't it beautiful? The little bunny is going to run away from his mother, and first he's going to be a fish in a stream, and she's going to be a fisherman, and she's going to go fish for him. And then he said, "Well, I'm going to be a rock on a high mountain." She said, "Well, I'm going to be a rock climber. I'm going to come after you." And then he says, "I'm going to be a flower in the garden." She says, "I'm going to be a gardener. I'm going to come and water you." And then he says, "I'm going to be a bird on the wing." And she said, "I will be a tree you come home to." And the bunny says, "Well, then if you are the tree I come home to, then I'm going to be a sailboat and sail away." And the mother says, "Well, if you're a sailboat that sails away, I'm going to be the wind that blows you where you need to go." And then finally it ends up, the little bunny says, "Well, then I'm going to be a little boy and I'm going to run home." And the mother says, "Then I will be the mother at home to welcome you and to hug you." Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful story that actually retells this parable of the lost sheep. We've all had moments, haven't we, where we wanted to run away, either from our family or from the church, if you're honest, or maybe even from God from time to time, when things happen that crush and break our hearts with heartbreak and disappointment or anxiety over the future. And I'd like to walk back to this story for a moment, because I think the setting is really important. So Jesus is teaching and spending a lot of time having fun, eating and drinking, by the way, series on Dining with Jesus coming up, with the sinners and tax collectors. Now, the sinners were, you know, just you name your sin, all of them there, right? But the tax collectors had their own special category of being a sinner. And the reason was, of course, no one likes to pay taxes, right? But the tax collectors of this time were typically collecting money either for Herod or for the Romans or for both. And not only that, for corrupt purposes. They forced the Israelites to do things they didn't want them to do, but also the way they made their money was to overcharge them for taxes. So if there's anything people hate more than paying taxes, it's paying too much for taxes. Would you say amen to that? So anyway, they were hated, and Jesus is spending time with these folks. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the good people, the good folk, come to Jesus and begin to complain about that. And in response to that, Jesus tells a story of the lost sheep. In fact, there's three stories. We'll walk through those. But this morning, we're going to do the lost sheep. And so he tells the story of this shepherd. And the shepherd has 100 sheep. And 99 are okay, but one has somehow gotten lost. Now, if you know anything about sheep and have studied them a little bit, and had a neighbor one time of my sister's who had a whole flock of sheep, and they're notorious for getting lost. In fact, they will wander away and they will go over a cliff and get caught there, or they'll wade into water and where it's too swift, and of course their fleece collects all this water. They're often swept downstream, and so if there's a lost one, you need to go after it. So even though the shepherd has 99 in this open field, he goes after the one lost one, and he searches high and low until he finds the lost sheep, and then he carries the sheep home, and he invites his friends and neighbors to come and to rejoice. It's a beautiful story. And so there's a story of rejoicing, and I'm reminded of the story by Henry Nouw, actually not a story, but his journal. He's talking about his own life kind of story, and Henry Nouw is a very famous Trappist monk and a great speaker at retreats. He's passed away, but a wonderful, wonderful person. But he said in this journal, he said, everyone has a secret longing, and that secret longing is to be known and loved by God. To be known and loved by God. And sometimes we don't realize that secret longing is there, and so we're tugged and pulled to go off in directions we never realize until we find something that fills the void in our hearts. St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find the rest in you. And the rest that we'll only find is in the loving arms of the Good Shepherd. So Jesus wants the religious leaders of the day to know, and us to know, and the church to know, that Jesus is here for lost, the lonely, the last, the least, the outcast, the marginalized, all the more. And I think that's good news for us because, you know, Jesus' whole mission was that of the Good Shepherd, wasn't it? Came from the Father on high to come and to seek and save all of us, willing to go to every depth, including taking on our humanity, our vulnerability, all of our weaknesses, that he would know us and we might know his love. And then give his life on Calvary that we would know God's forgiveness and grace, was raised to new life, that we would have the promise of eternal life. And so that is the mission of Jesus. But I think there's something else that Jesus is trying to say, to whisper to us this morning, is that if Jesus cares about the lost, then so too ought we. I mean, it does beg the question, doesn't it, that if Jesus is out looking for the lost, then are we, the church, the family of faith, are we out there looking for the lost? Are we welcoming the last, the lonely, the least, the forgotten many times as part of the family of faith and letting them know about the love of God? And I think when we're at our best, we do exactly that. There's a wonderful story called Traveling Mercies. It's not really a story. It's an autobiography filled with stories by Anne Lamott. So if you're not an Anne Lamott fan, reader, she's a great writer. But in this story, she tells her own story of sort of a prodigal daughter. And she said that she was in her early 20s and her father passed away suddenly. And she said she was so heartbroken and disappointed that she spiraled into depression. In fact, she got hooked on drugs and alcohol and almost at one point considered taking her life. And she said when she was in the midst of her darkness, she was asleep one night, really kind of lying awake in bed, trying to go to sleep. And she said she became aware of this presence in the dark corner of the room. And she waited for a while, and then she said that it just seemed that it was Jesus who was there. And so she waited in the silence, and finally in her anger, she yelled out at who she thought was Jesus in the corner and said, I will never go with you ever, ever. And she thought about all of her popular friends and well-educated intelligentsia, and she said, what would they ever think if I became a Christian? And so she woke in the morning, and she said Jesus was gone. She said, but she started to see Jesus in little places where Jesus would whisper to her in a sunrise or in a sunset or in the smile on a baby's face. In fact, one day she said that she swore she saw Jesus driving a yellow Pinto who stopped to let her cross the street with an armful of groceries. Well, after the longest time, Jesus pursuing her, she finally said, all right, Jesus, I'm yours. So she decided to go to church one Sunday, and she realized with great worry that most churches would not be ready to see her. Because after all, she, even though she had this experience, she was dealing with drugs and alcohol at the time and wasn't at her best at all. But she stumbled into a small church, and that church welcomed her with open arms. They became her family of faith. In fact, she said, not only did she worship there, but when she went through little victories in life, they would celebrate like a family with her. When she'd been through 1 year of recovery from addiction, they celebrated that year with her. And when she had a baby, they celebrated that. And slowly by slowly, she became part of that family of faith. You see, when we're part of the church, we not only recognize that we are lost sons and daughters and allow God to embrace us with his love wherever we are, but we also are to go out into the highways and byways and to welcome the lost, the lonely, the last and the least into God's family of faith, to become part of the 99, to be complete. I don't know what your experience is, maybe of inviting someone who's been lost to the family of God and to God's loving arms, but experience I had when I was young is that I had this friend by the name of Pat. And Pat was my lab partner in electronics and other things. And Pat was notorious because he was a drug dealer at school. And Pat had this long trench army coat. And when he came in, I mean, it smelled like, you know, he'd been burning leaves. You know what I'm talking about. And so Pat was notorious because he had this Volkswagen Beetle that used to, you know, the parts would come apart. And he would fill it up with switchblades and drive to Mexico in the summertime, and then he would exchange those switchblades for marijuana, drive the marijuana back up, and then sell it at school and around there. Obviously not a good thing. But I decided to share my faith with Pat and invite him to church. And so I began to pick up Pat at his home, because he had a car, he obviously could drive, but he wouldn't get up. He always slept in on Sunday morning, and so I'd go and get Pat, had to wait for him, take him to church. And of course, when he walked into church, you could smell Pat coming for about 20 yards away. And so that went on for months, and in fact, more than a year and a half. And then I left for college, and he left for somewhere, parts unknown, I wasn't sure. And I didn't hear from Pat for a while, but one day when I was home from college, I had a call on my phone from Pat, and Pat said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." He said, "Let's meet for lunch." And so I met him for lunch, and then we actually went to McDonald's. And as we were standing in line, Pat turns to me and said, "Listen, I want you to know I became a Christian." And I went like, "Really?" I thought he was actually making fun of me. But he wasn't. He began to share. He said, "Listen, we had this friend that was in the hospital. He passed away, and he said he shared his faith with me. And all the things that happened in church, those little moments that you shared, what have you, I became a Christian." He said, "And once more, I joined this church. I began to teach Sunday school." He said, "And then I went on a mission trip down to Haiti." And he said, "I'm thinking of becoming a missionary." And I was just blown away by that. Because sometimes the people that you think that would be the last people to come to Christ are those who do. And so far as I know, Pat's still a missionary today. After all, he was very fluent in Spanish. So God can even use those moments in your life that were part of your journey into lost them as part of the journey to be found. So you and I this morning, as we are here in church, maybe you're feeling lost. Maybe you feel like you want to run away from God and the church and everyone who cares about you because you're just in that season of life. But know this, that Jesus is going to pursue you high and low until he wraps his arms of love around you, just like the runaway bunny and the mother bunny. And we as the church need to be part of that too. We need to be people not like the religious leaders of Jesus' time. We need to be the church that wraps arms of love around them, just like the church that Anne Lamott walked into. And just like my church that even struggled with Pat, but embraced him and showed him love at times and moments that he never thought would happen. I'm going to close with this story. And it's a modern-day parable by Max Lucado, and it's about the Brazilian mother. And so there was this mother and daughter who lived a few hours away from Rio de Janeiro by bus. And they didn't have much by the means of life. It was in a rural area. They were quite poor. And mother and daughter name was Christina, and the mother was Maria. And Christina was a teenager, and so they would, from time to time, have a spat. And Christina started to threaten that she was going to run away to Rio de Janeiro. And her mother would always say, there's lots of problems in Rio. You don't want to go there. Bad things will happen to you. And so one day they were having a big argument, and Christine just had enough. And so that night she slipped away to the bus station, and she got on a bus, took all the money that she had, which wasn't much, and went to Rio. Well, mother woke up the next morning, and she just couldn't believe it. Her heart was broken, and so she waited a while for Christine to come back, and days passed, and Christina didn't show up. And she realized there's a lot of bad things that can happen in Rio, and she worried so much that her daughter was going to run out of money, she was going to get in trouble, and bad things would happen to her, so she didn't know what else to do. So the mother decided she was going to go to Rio. Before she got on the bus, and she stopped by the local drugstore, and she got in the photo booth, and she took all those photos that you can in the photo booth of herself. And then she made Xerox copies of those that were black and white. And then on the way to Rio on the bus, she wrote notes to her daughter, Christine. And then when she got to Rio, she looked high and low for her daughter, and she looked at even the bad places of town because she thought, well, gee, if she runs out of money, some bad things are going to happen to her. And so even in wayward hotel restrooms, she would put these notes with her photo on one side and note on the other side and all over the place. And then when she ran out of money, she finally decided she just had enough to go back to the bus. And so she hoped and prayed and got on the bus, went back home. Well, it wasn't too long before exactly what her mother thought would happen happened, and Christina ran out of money. And she did fell in with the wrong crowd, and the wrong things began to happen to her, and she was in a desperate moment in her life, and she descended these steps of this shabby hotel, and she went into restroom. On the mirror was a photo of her mother, so she took the photo off, and on the back it said, "Dear Christina, if this is you, know that whatever has happened to you, that I still love you. Please come home." And she did. I think God is just like that. God is out there searching for you and I for a homecoming. However far you've gone, know that God is there for the last, the lonely, the least, the forgotten, the marginalized, and welcomes us with open arms, arms of forgiveness and grace and love. And we become part of the family of God. No matter whether you're a rebellious youth or a rebellious aging person, wherever you are in your chapter of life, God always welcomes you home. And also realize that you and I, as part of God's family, God's church, one of the main things we should be doing is welcoming in the lost, the lonely, the least, the marginalized, welcoming them with arms of love in the image of God himself, the good shepherd, welcoming people home to Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your arms of love that welcome us home. Sometimes we all get lost. Sometimes we all want to run away. But you come after us, even as the good shepherd came looking for the lost lamb. So Lord, help us to look for you and to find your arms of love and grace and forgiveness. Lord, help us too as the family of faith to not be like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, but to welcome with loving arms those who are lost, those who are lonely, those who are searching, the last, the least, the marginalized, that they too might find the loving arms of you. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.